Jenny were saying,
"Mom, there's your son," talking to John, his best friend and his disciple. And he was saying to John, "Here's your mother." Jesus is for community. We don't live a life like I lived for about 20 years after I became saved, of trying to live alone for God. That is not the way. God called us to live within community. Strength is in numbers. We have that in the world. We have it in the church as well. As we sit here, it's more Holy Spirit. When you guys leave, I have less Holy Spirit. We have more Holy Spirit corporately as a church, because this is how God called us. You'll see 1 Corinthians 12 verse 14, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's when they were together. It was corporate. The sixth word, where he said, "I am thirsty." Just three simple words. "I am thirsty." And we see the humanness of Jesus in this, that he can thirst. And I was reading a scripture then, 1 Corinthians 4:11, "To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty, we are in rags, we are brutally treated, we are homeless." Christ experienced this first, so that when we experience it, or people in our life, people on the street, that we know Christ experienced this first. That encouraged us to engage with those on the outskirts of society. The last word he spoke in John 19, verse 30, was, "It is finished." And he said this when all scripture was fulfilled. Every promise up to the crucifixion was fulfilled. So we're going to carry on today. And it was promises that are still being fulfilled in his resurrection. I want to speak a bit about the words that Jesus spoke after his resurrection. When I go to Matthew 28, verse 9. Sometimes I love when I hear Jesus speaking. I mean, he's just resurrected. It's so massive. And it's 3 days after his death. And he comes to Martha. I spoke about it this morning, and he says to her, Matthew 28 verse 9, so my translation, the New King James Version, says "rejoice," but the other translation I had says "greetings." He comes to Martha 3 days after his death, sees him for the first time, he says to her, "greetings," or "rejoice." I mean, this is so powerful. And it just sets the trend of how to live with Jesus. How Martha's relationship with Jesus must be. Don't be sad, but rejoice. Carry on to verse 10. We see that he says, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And you'll see this message of him carries on through the Gospels. Do not be afraid. Be at peace. Peace be with you. And this is an encouragement for us how to live. Let me finish with Matthew 28. You all know this verse. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. I want to really challenge us with these words. It's probably the third group of words that Jesus is saying after his resurrection, and we know it so well. He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always." I just saw the sandwich in this verse. He starts with, "All authority has been given to me." It's the top part of the sandwich. And the bottom part is, "I am with you always." And then in between is what we need to do. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. When we live the gospel, when we live the story that God has done in our lives, his story, what he rescued us from, what he delivered us from. When we tell that story has the power to start in Bloemfontein and to go into Africa and to the ends of the world, whether it's Europe, whether it's Australia or America. It doesn't stop. Our story, don't underestimate the blood of Jesus. I'll read a verse to us just now. But there's a worth in you because of the blood of Jesus. And the words that come out of your mouth has got the power to travel to the ends of this earth. Why? Because he says, all authority has been given to me. Go. And he finished by saying, I am with you always. It's not us. It's not about us. It's not about our skill set. It's not about our background. It's about us just having an attitude of saying yes to Jesus. And his words then start coming out of our mouth. So we go on to Mark. It's very similar. I'm going to skip Mark. But it's very similar to this, these verses I just read. Let's go on to Luke. Luke 24 verse 17. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk not sad? So again, Jesus just resurrected. These two guys are walking on the road to Emmaus. They're very sad because Jesus died and he promised them a lot of things. And now where is he? He's dead. And Jesus just come and walk alongside them and ask them, so what are you talking about? Tell me what is your concerns? And they tell him, they say, where were you? Don't you know about what's going on? He says, what things? What's happening? And he started encouraging them from the scriptures, from Genesis. Isn't it beautiful? From Genesis. I mean, I think in Genesis 2 already, when Adam and Eve was tempted, God said to the serpent, the seed, the woman's seed, will crush your head. You will bite her in the foot. But the seed, and its capital S, is Jesus Christ. He's already talking about Jesus coming. He will crush your head. So now Jesus encouraged them from the scriptures, all the way through the law, the prophets, the Psalms, telling them Jesus must die. But the thing about the Old Testament, you don't read it that clearly that Jesus will be resurrected. And yes, Jesus is with him. He's resurrected. He told the disciples all the time. These two are part of his disciples. Part of his, I don't know how many disciples was there. But they're not part of the 12, but they're part of his bigger group of 70 disciples. And he says to them in verse 25, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beautiful words saying to them. So let's carry on to verse 36, where he says, Jesus stood in the middle of all the disciples. Disciples are behind locked doors. Suddenly Jesus is standing in between them. First words out of his mouth that they hear, peace be with you. This is our life. This is how it should look every day with Jesus. Peace be with you. If you're in a storm, you must hear these words of Jesus. Peace be with you. Or if you're in a financial storm, a health storm, an emotional storm, peace be with you. Jesus is saying, like he said to the disciples 2,000 years ago, he's saying to you this morning by his Holy Spirit, peace be with you. Those walls cannot be too high for Jesus. Those mountains cannot be, the giants cannot be too big for Jesus. He's saying, peace be to you. What is bigger than death? You know that all our problems will pass away the moment we die. We won't worry about our problems anymore. And Jesus conquered death. He said, I am the death. I am life. Sorry. I am life. The resurrection and the life. He said that to Mary when Lazarus died. He says, don't you believe that I'm the resurrection and life? Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. that Jesus is bigger than everything. He says to them, peace be to you. He says in the next verse, verse 38, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Another translation said, why do doubts arise in your mind? When you're worrying, you're thinking about these things, you contemplating these things, negative things. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. He's so personal with them. Just touch me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side. Then he asked them, have you got any food yet? They're probably still thinking he's a ghost because he died and now he came back. And now you're asking, have you got any food yet? And they gave to him and he started eating. Verse 44, a little bit later on, he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. You want to know Jesus? Take the Bible and read it. Just pick it up and read it. Don't say the truth is in the Bible. Just pick it up and read it. Because that is the truth that will set you free. That is Jesus. We have the privilege of having a Bible in South Africa that we are allowed to read. Don't have 10 Bibles like me on the bookshelf and then you don't open them. Rather have one Bible and read that Bible. So it's encouragement for all of us. Pick up your Bible, open it, and just read. I think one of the first laws that they teach you in Bible school, students always want to know, but how can I study the Bible? How can I know the Bible? And the first thing is pick it up and read it. That's where it starts. Don't do YouTube on the Bible or listen to a lot of sermons. Just pick up your Bible and start reading it. There's another rule about context. Context in the Bible is very important. Context of when it was written, why, what did the writer intend? Like what we are reading now here, and where are we now in Luke 24. What did the writer intend here? What did the Holy Spirit want to convey here? So it's the context of that time. And then how is it applicable today to me? So context is very important. So one of the first rules of context is the Bible explains the Bible. Not go and look at all these commentators, professors, doctors. The Bible explains the Bible. It's the first rule of context. Okay, verse 46, he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. Bloemfontein is our Jerusalem. We start here. And then he says, go to Judea. That's the bigger area. Free State, South Africa. And unto the ends of the earth, he says. This is the power of the gospel. Jesus will take us to the ends of the earth. If we are, what's the right word? Getrou. If we are faithful to preach the gospel, to speak the gospel. Don't think I'm the only one that needs to preach. All of us are preachers. I want to jump from here to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. I think it's verse 17. We can maybe start a little bit earlier. Let's start at verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And then this is the verse that we all know. It's verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we know that. And we know that our old man, as he says in, I think it's Romans 9. It's Romans 9. He says, our old man has died, and we received a new nature. So this scripture is speaking into that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So that's that peace I talked about. That peace. We have been reconciled with God. But it doesn't stop there. He says, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then he explains, what is this ministry of reconciliation? That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is what should come out of our mouth. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Because we have a world that is dying out there. We have a world that needs a savior, that's crying out for a savior. Every person on this earth has felt the hands of God on him. He says he weaves us in our mother's womb. So every person has got the touch of God on him, whether they believe in Christ or not. But we need to be aware that the words must come from us. Our lifestyle must reflect Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to do it, and it's by the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our strength, our abilities. I want to get to the blood of Jesus. So you see that this carries on in Luke and John. I don't want to go through all of John now, but there's the most beautiful words in John. All the first words that Jesus said of this resurrection. I can maybe touch on 21 verse 15. John 21 verse 15. Let's jump there. I love this part of scripture. So you know what Peter did? He denied Jesus three times and said, I don't know you, I don't know Jesus, because he was afraid of being imprisoned. So after Jesus' resurrection, he came to Peter and he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. This is the calling to us as well. I know sometimes we don't want to be called sheep, but Jesus, he's the shepherd. So if Jesus is the shepherd, we are the sheep. Doesn't mean we dumb or we're not clever. It just means that we follow after the shepherd. He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. Tend my sheep. Or feed my sheep is another translation. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. You see, there's a call for us. Resurrection is not just about Jesus freeing us from our sins. The resurrection is more than that. It is freeing the world from their sins. And we become an agency. The church becomes an agency, working together with God the Father, with Jesus, by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Never try and do it in your own strength. I'm going to go to China. I'm going to preach the gospel there. Don't do that. Hear from the Lord. He says, Marius, go to China. Say, yes, Lord, only by your power, by your strength, by your provision. Don't just do it and say, Lord, bless this. Really follow after him. He is the shepherd, so follow after him. Okay, the last thing I want to touch on is the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 18. You remember when John baptized Jesus in the Jordan? When Jesus came walking to John, he said, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Peter 1 verse 18. So this is a summary of what we did, the crucifixion, the resurrection, in these few verses. Verse 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold. This is so important for us to realize, that it was the blood of Jesus that bought us, not the things of this world, nothing on this world. Gold is a thing probably that's worth the most. Maybe in Bitcoin nowadays is worth more than gold. But nothing on this earth, the value cannot compare to the blood of Christ, because it was innocent blood. It was perfect blood that was spilled for every one of us. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So he's just saying that before this world began, before time, space began, before creation, Jesus was already foreordained to be our shepherd, to be our king, to be the one that will buy us free from slavery. He says in the last part there, if you believe in him, if you believe that he was raised, that he died and he was raised from the dead, you will have hope in this world. Isn't that the sickness in this world, hopelessness? We don't need to be hopeless when we believe in Jesus Christ, because we know that he will come back to us. We have a hope in our Savior. Okay. Thank you. You pray for us. Father, what a privilege to just listen to you, listen to your Holy Spirit, just reminding us of everything Jesus has said. I pray that these words will free us, it will encourage us, it will strengthen us. So we thank you, Father, for your church, and that your church is an answer for this world. I pray, Lord, strengthen your church. Father, I pray that we forgive us. I ask that you forgive us where we have spoken against our brothers and sisters or any other churches. Come and restore, Lord, your peace in us, that we will love one another, that we will serve one another. In Jesus' name, amen.